revealing the secrets of great public speaking. It's the Speak Fearless Podcast with Mark Westbrook.
How do you write and perform a presentation so people will listen? There's a massive difference between writing for the eye, for a reader, and writing for the ear, for a listener. But what is it? And how do you make sure your presentation is heard? Well, hello. Hi, everyone. This is the Speak Fearless Podcast. I'm Mark. I'm a leading presentation and public speaking coach with top clients like AG Barr and the Bruichladdich Distillery. I'm also a former professional acting coach. I've coached everyone from beginners to Oscar winners and had clients from Bollywood to Hollywood, so I understand what makes a professional performance. It's episode 8. How did we get here? Ear candy. That's the topic today. Unlocking the secrets of captivating presentations through ear candy.
Subscribe to the Speak Fearless Podcast now and never miss an episode.
If you want to succeed at presentations and public speaking events, then you've come to the right place. I'll help you get what you want by delivering impactful and influential presentations. I also want to point out something rather obvious, that I'm doing it right now. I wrote the words you're listening to be heard, to be read aloud, and to be heard. And I think if you listen until the end of today's podcast, you'll discover precisely how to create a presentation that people actually want to listen to. Would that be nice? The problem is we tend to create our presentation content by writing sentences, and we turn those sentences into paragraphs, and we turn those paragraphs into pages. But we're writing for the eye of a reader, and this creates an obvious problem. The audience is listening and not reading. But there are solutions that help you write for the ear and speak with authenticity to your audience. Let me share some with you. Listening is not the same as reading. The mental process is different. When you give a presentation, the audience listens. That's their interaction with the content of your presentation. How you experience a presentation is also a different process. We engage with the messenger as much as the message. We cannot say that of reading. The writer doesn't use tone, inflection, volume, energy, and pace. So the delivery of the presenter also adds to the experience of listening. At the end of the day, a presentation or speech is a live performance, and the person doing the performance of the presentation adds something unique to the material as it's spoken. The listening experience is also linear. It happened once, now, and possibly never again. The reading experience is easy to repeat. You can just look at the same line 20 times, then stare off into space, have a good think about it, and then return to the line again 5 minutes later, and you've missed nothing. But when you listen, you can't rewind. The speaker has moved on. So when we write for a presentation, we need to write for the listener, for the ear, for how it will sound when one person says it aloud. We have to create content from the perspective that the listener will only hear it once. So both how it's written and how it's delivered need to factor in the ephemerality of the experience. This here and now, gone in a second, nature of the act of listening. The reader gets a much more engaged experience because they have to process the words for themselves. Reading tends, but not conclusively, to lead to better comprehension and retention. So that means that creating content for the ear needs to be a different approach. But how do you do that? How do you create ear candy? How do you create content that others will want to listen to so you get heard? Do you remember how they used to say in school, don't write like you speak? Well, the trick is the absolute opposite of that. If you want to write for the ear, write precisely how you speak. How you speak as an authentic person talking to another person. We have to write in spoken language. Look, written language works really very well for brochure copy and non-fiction books, but for presentations, and perhaps podcasts too, we have to write directly how we speak. A writer might say, Scott penned a quip. Now, that might work quite nicely in a written novel, but if a person says that, you'd look at them like they were crazy. What's up with Scott? Oh, he's just penning a quip. And then he'll come down the pub. What's up with Scott? Oh, he's written a funny comment. Makes you sound relatable, like a person. So here's my tips. Use conversational language, a natural tone, as if you were talking directly to the audience, a single person. Avoid formal or complex language, jargon or nomenclature. Sorry, that was a bad joke. Telling you to avoid language like that and then using the word nomenclature, hopefully that'll help you remember it. Use short, punchy sentences that are clear and easy to understand. Avoid sentences that go on and on and on. They lose the listener. Paint a picture with your words. It fires up the audience's imagination. Use descriptions that use the senses. Use smells, tastes, sounds, pictures. It will help the audience visualize and get them emotionally involved in your presentation. Also, use phrases like, picture this, imagine this, listen, look, all sensory related cues to the listener. Emphasize your keywords. In your content, use bold or italics and help the essential stand out. Writing an important word in a sentence doesn't highlight it for the audience by itself, but many public speakers fall into that trap. You have to tell the audience what's important. Speak as you write. Write what you are speaking to test what it sounds like. Keep timing in mind. Short presentations are often more powerful than long ones. This is a live performance, but it doesn't need to be 4 hours like Hamlet. It can have a great influence, even if it's only 6 minutes long. Consider recording yourself reading what you've written and listen back. A small tip. Use contractions like don't, it's, won't. We write do not. We write it is. We write we will not. But we say don't, it's, and won't. So present how you speak. My last piece of advice, and this really does turn your words into ear candy, is to use rhetorical devices which help make your content candy for the ear. So what are these devices that I'm referring to? Well, they're called rhetorical devices. They've been around for about 2,000 years, and they are highly effective for helping you grab your audience by the lapels and pour sweet, sweet candy in their ears. I'm going to focus on just a few of these rhetorical devices. They've got all sorts of annoying names, which makes them sound very off-putting, but they describe pretty simple verbal tricks that help our audience stay glued to us. So the first device I want to mention is anadiplosis, which is not a dinosaur with a long neck. It's a technique where you repeat a word at the end of one sentence and begin another one with the same word. In Star Wars, Master Yoda says, I won't do the impression, fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. The American politician Jesse Jackson once said, don't you surrender. Suffering breeds character. Character breeds faith. In the end, faith will not disappoint. You must not surrender. Another lovely example of anadiplosis. I want you to think about a future. A future that doesn't involve petrol or diesel. So that repetition at the end of one idea and the beginning of another idea makes the audience's brain go, oh, that must be important if they've repeated it. The next one is metaphor. Now, we probably all did it in school, but let's go into it for the sake of public speaking. You're saying something is something else. One of my current clients is starting a speech with, when the shit hits the fan. Not only does that feel like authentic her, it's also spoken language. And it's a metaphor. There is no poo really hitting any fan, so it's a metaphor. Donald Trump used the metaphor of drain the swamp when he claimed to want to make politics honest again. I'm sorry, I find that very difficult to say because it's so ironic. But anyway, when someone calls sensitive people a snowflake, that's a metaphor, right? They're not actually a snowflake and they will not melt. Metaphors help us see something in a new light. They make us think of something as if it's something else. In 2011, a study was conducted with two groups of participants. One group was presented with a depiction of a crime-ridden city, where the criminal element were likened to beasts, preying on innocent citizens, using an animal metaphor. The other group received a similar description, but the criminal element was portrayed as a disease plaguing the town, utilizing a disease metaphor. When asked how to address the crime problem, the participants who encountered the animal metaphor tended to suggest control-focused strategies such as increasing police presence and implementing stricter penalties. On the other hand, those exposed to the disease metaphor leaned towards diagnostic or treatment-oriented approaches, such as identifying the root cause of the crime wave and boosting the local economy. This study demonstrates that altering the metaphor significantly influenced how readers perceived the crime. Viewing it as a beast led to the perception that control was necessary, while considering it a disease prompted the belief that treatment and remedies were essential. Consequently, writers of speeches can strategically use metaphors to shape the listener's perceptions and opinions on various topics. Lytetes is the next rhetorical device. Yep, it sounds a bit like an illness, but Lytetes is one of my favorites. Lytetes. It's ironic understatement in which an affirmative and positive thing is expressed by the negative of its contrary. I remember looking at the ocean in Australia once and saying, well, that's not awful, is it? So we use the reverse of what we mean. Hyperbole is another great one. Exaggeration for dramatic effect. I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. My feet are killing me. That plane ride took forever. I'm dying of laughter. When Donald Trump made a trade with China, he told reporters, the deal I just made with China is by far the greatest and biggest deal ever made for our great patriot farmers in the history of our country. I don't know if that was true or not, but sounds like hyperbole to me. The next one is anaphora. It's the use of repetition of words or phrases for effect. Martin Luther King Jr. used the same phrase throughout his famous speech. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today, right? I have a dream. Repetition makes your point for you. In Catcher in the Rye, to emphasize Holden's emotions regarding his brother's gravesite, it says, it rained on his lousy tomb. It rained on the grass of his stomach. It rained all over the place. Right? That repetition of rain. It gives you a feeling. Don't be afraid of repetition. It's incredibly powerful. What about Sir Winston Churchill? We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our land, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight in the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender, right? All that, we shall fight, we shall fight. It has an impact on the listener. It draws them in. You see, these rhetorical devices are powerful. Powerful because they turn your words into ear candy. The final part of turning your words into ear candy relates solely to the messenger themselves, you. The performer, the speaker, the presenter, the one doing all the talking. There are tools that you can employ to make people really listen to you. The two that I'd like to speak to you about, the two most powerful ones, are energy and pace. Whether you use a big or small energy, or whether you use a slow or fast pace. Listen to this example. The Spanish government is using maps of movement made by Iberian orca to help inform sailors about how to avoid these marine mammals, which hunt for tuna along the coast of Portugal and Spain and through the narrow strait of Gibraltar. If I change pace from fast to slow or slow to fast when there's punctuation, you'll hear it very differently. The Spanish government is using maps of movement made by Iberian orca to help inform sailors about how to avoid these marine mammals, which hunt for tuna along the coast of Portugal and Spain and through the narrow strait of Gibraltar. Here's another example. If you don't have a passport, you're not likely to be allowed to enter the country for any reason. Now let's try a fast, slow, slow approach. If you don't have a passport, you're not likely to be allowed to enter the country for any reason. Let's try fast, slow, fast. If you don't have a passport, you're not likely to be allowed to enter the country for any reason. That was fast, slow, fast. Now let's try slow, fast, slow. If you don't have a passport, you're not likely to be allowed to enter the country for any reason. Changing up the pace of your speech, the rate at which you speak, allows you to draw attention to things. For instance, things said quickly are interpreted by your audience as being less important than things said slowly. Then there's the amount of energy you use. Vocal energy for most people equates to volume, so listen to this example. These charges are, in my view, the most serious and potentially the most consequential that Donald Trump has yet faced. Not least because they relate to things that happened while he was still president. So I read that nice and flat. If I use volume or vocal energy, these charges are, in my view, the most serious and potentially the most consequential that Donald Trump has yet faced. Not least because they relate to the things that happened while he was still president. So you can hear that I'm using my voice, vocal energy, to tell you what I think is most important. Let's try it again if I combine some rate of speech as well. These charges are, in my view, the most serious and potentially the most consequential that Donald Trump has yet faced, not least because they relate to things that happened while he was still president. Now, that might not be how you want to say it, but shifting the rate and shifting the energy allows you to tickle the brain of your listener. It keeps them awake. So you can use a big energy or a small energy. You can also use fast or slow pace. Remember, we are performing a presentation. It requires energy. But we're not mumbling away like a movie star in an independent film. We're standing in front of an audience and we asked for their attention. We've asked for their attention. We've said, I'm going to speak to you. We can't get all shy and timid now. We've asked for their attention and they've given it to us. Clients often say, oh, I don't want to use a big energy. I'll look silly. Oh, you look like you don't care. It's what you look like. Because we use a big energy to draw attention to what's important. That's all. Not because we want to show off. It doesn't serve you to play small. Commit to the energy and pace changes I'm talking about, and you'll produce beautiful ear candy.
This is my daddy's podcast.
Thank you, Anna. So, if you want to turn your presentation content into ear candy, you can write the presentation like you speak and speak it like you're speaking to another person, not presenting a formal proceeding. Use rhetorical devices to make your content come to life and then play with the rate of speech, the pace and the energy when you're speaking to hold an audience's attention and keep it until the end of your presentation. Well, that's it for this time. If you're looking to improve your presentation skills and public speaking, you can get in touch with me at allthewspeakfearless.co.uk or drop me an email to hello@speakfearless.co.uk. Until next time, balance in all things. Take care.
You've been listening to the Speak Fearless podcast. Head on over to speakfearless.co.uk now for more tips, training, and advice on public speaking and business presentations.